And finally today, I reached out to an old friend to give us one more perspective on yesterday's shooting, David Shribman. We used to work together in Washington, D.C. Now he is executive editor of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He lives just three blocks from the Tree of Life Synagogue, and he's published two powerful pieces, one for his own paper and another for the New York Times. And he's with us now from his office at the Post-Gazette. David Shribman, it is good to hear your voice.
It's nice to hear yours, Michelle, over all these years.
Yes, and I'm sorry for the reason we are talking today, but I'm glad we are. In your piece today, you wrote about the long history of Judaism in Pittsburgh, but also about the long history of coexistence and religious tolerance in Pittsburgh, as exemplified by your own life. But you also live in the world. I mean, it has to be said, you are in the news. And I just find myself asking if you were surprised to see this here.
Well, you never expect to see this three blocks away from home or 3,000 miles away from wherever you are. But it's covering these things is our way of rendering service to the community we represent and the community we live in and the community in which we have the deepest possible investment, which is that of our families. So I'm here at the Post-Gazette with mostly our entire staff here, selflessly poured in, because this is our way of serving our community and this is our way of marking this moment.
Do you mind if I ask, how are your people doing? How is your staff doing?
Our staff is hurt and exhausted, but fired with determination to do what God has placed us on this earth to do.
You wrote that your paper, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, did not hesitate to call this a hate crime. And why was that? And we should add that the suspect, as we have heard, is being investigated for a hate crime. So why do you think that that's important?
Because this was certainly not an act of charity. It wasn't a mistake or coincidence that this occurred in a synagogue. It didn't occur in a mall, didn't occur in a park. And we would have used that phrase had it occurred in a mosque, as it did once in Quebec, or if it had in a church, as it did so fatefully and so horribly in South Carolina 3 years ago. I mean, he clearly, this alleged perpetrator, clearly had hate on his mind and in his heart.
George Selim, the senior vice president for programs with the Anti-Defamation League, told NPR listeners this morning that anti-Semitic attacks have spiked over the last 2 years. And you wrote about Pittsburgh as being a place that has such a long history of religious tolerance and intermingling. Have you seen that here? Have you seen a rise in events like
that? This is a community where Jewish life is conducted with great ease and great comfort and great security. As, of course, is Catholic life. One third of our neighbors are Catholic here, and Muslim life and every other kind of life. We pride ourselves here on tolerance, and it's not exceptional for people to live Jewish lives or to live devout Catholic lives. I sometimes say that this is the only community I've ever lived in where the people who aren't Jews actually pronounce the Yiddish words correctly, something their Jewish colleagues sometimes fail to achieve.
Can you read us something from your piece for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette? As I mentioned, that you had a piece in your paper. You also had a piece in the New York Times. But I guess I was really struck by your piece for your own paper. And I wanted to ask if you could read the two paragraphs toward the end that begin, "Because this was our neighborhood."
Because this was our neighborhood, caught in the crossfire of the strains of the global village, and for once, sadly, so very sadly, the hurt was ours, and the victims were ours, and the need to heal is ours. For now it has happened here, from Williams across this wounded nation. We are the focus of anguish and anger and solace, the "it can happen here" place of the moment. And as we suffer, and as we know, given the tempo of the tragedy in these times that are ours, that title won't be ours for long. In our grief, shared across all faiths, we need something to lead on, to steady us. We might reflect on this passage from Proverbs that lent its name to this place of tragedy, a reference to the metaphor describing Judaism's most sacred text, the Torah, as a tree of life, or in transliteration, Eitz HaYahim. It is a tree of life to all who hold fast to it. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace.
Did writing those words give you any peace?
No, they gave me a chill to type and a chill to read and a chill to think about what this means for this community.
And as a journalist, you often don't step into the waters of what it means, and you don't step into the waters of speculation, but do you mind if I impose upon our friendship and ask, what do you think it means?
I think it means that we'll hurt here for a long while, that we'll bury our dead, and that we will be, and I'm having trouble even saying this, Michelle, that we will be stronger for the loss, though the loss in those families will never go away.
You really think that? You'll be stronger for it?
I think we'll be more determined than ever to live civil lives, to reach out to one another, and to live together.
And what about all the issues that are raised by this? There are so many difficult conversations that, you know, a lot of people want to have. Some people say it's not time yet. Other people say, how can it not be time to have those difficult conversations? There are serious conversations about policy, about we are in the middle of a very heated election year. I know that you gathered a list of names and thoughts and statements made from leaders and public figures around the country, really around the world, speaking about this. But what do you think? I mean, how can you not think about this as you cover these issues going forward? And how do you think you're going to think about this?
Well, right now, not to beg off the question, Michelle, we're so exhausted that we can't think about much beyond our work today and tomorrow and the next day. Funerals begin on Tuesday. This will prompt huge conversations in all of our homes, in synagogues, in churches and mosques, and in public debates. We are, 9 days away from an election. I think people will reflect upon this period. But this is not a period of politics the next 48 hours. It's a period of mourning and reflection about the purposes of life and the fragility and caprice of it all.
And before we leave you, and thank you so much for talking with us at such a difficult time, I have you thought about what brought you here? I know it seems like a ridiculous question, but has
what
it
brought me
changed?
Here to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, has it given you thought about what brought you here and what your mission is here now?
I came here to serve this community. My children and wife have flourished here. My children found their life's work through their experience here. And I've had the privilege of setting the conversation of a remarkable community.
Thank you so much for talking with us, my old friend, David Shribman, executive editor of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And I really appreciate you.